Sometimes sci-fi shows us who we really are, and sometimes we really don't like it. Looking back at WALL-E 10 years later. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Years ago this summer, the Pixar film WALL-E came out. It's about a future where humans have ruined Earth's environment with trash. They live in space, captive to screens, self-driving chairs, liquefied food, and robot servants. One little robot is left on Earth to clean up the mess until he finds love and ends up saving humanity from itself. As part of our summer entertainment series, we're pondering the lessons of WALL-E with a great sci-fi writer, Kim Stanley Robinson. He's the author of the Mars Trilogy and New York 2140, which also imagines a world transformed by environmental collapse. As it happens, WALL-E is one of his favorite movies.
Well, it wasn't a hard call to make in 2008. It was just a social commentary on what was already happening at the time. And 2008 and now are not that different socially and culturally. I guess you could just say more has happened. And I think WALL-E was a good intervention because there's good things that's happened in the last 10 years, as well as the bad parts of the consumer society coming more and more true. There's also the Paris Accord. There's a worldwide awareness of climate change and of environmental collapse. And that was also true in 2008. So I would just say that the situation has been exacerbated in a way that WALL-E is pointing out. Things aren't as bad as they are in WALL-E, but we're trending in that direction, both in the good ways and the really bad ways.
Well, yeah, there's also the very obvious message about how convenience becomes enslavement. The idea of constant entertainment and feeding and transportation that essentially takes away independence and autonomy. I mean, is that not an uncommon theme in science fiction? And I wonder if it's always been obvious.
Really, the humans in that movie, they're essentially like infants. Adulthood has been taken away. And against that, WALL-E looks like Sisyphus. You know, he's a worker bee. He has a stupid job to package trash into giant skyscraper-like columns. It's pointless in a way. And he's just beavering away at it. But then he begins to make all kinds of mature adult decisions, falls in love, joins a revolution, and overthrows the social order that already exists. The message is super clear, and I think it made people uncomfortable at the time in 2008, and I think it still should make us a little uncomfortable.
Did it? Do you think what were the conversations about that? What were people saying?
Well, conservative commentators were saying this is some kind of environmentalist scare message, and I first saw WALL-E in a movie theater in Bar Harbor at the edge of Acadia National Park. It was middle America on a summer vacation, seeing that movie in a theater where you got to eat pizza while you watched the movie, and every movie gets a round of applause. Well, WALL-E did not get a round of applause. The audience knew that it was being criticized for its habits, and there were lots of giant soft drinks in the theater as people were watching the movie, and then we were sitting back in recliners because of the pizza format of this particular theater. So, it's one of the very few satires that I think pokes a needle right in the heart of our lifestyle.
And what do you think it says about independence and autonomy? I mean, there are some robots, like you said, who break the rules to help humanity. And of course, some humans, too, who sort of wake up to this utopian nightmare that they live in.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's a wake-up call. Satires, if they're not just going to be like 1984, ending with a boot on your face, they have to always end in revolution and a wake-up of some characters. It's funny, I think, that it turns out to be a little machine with presumably really simple programming. It's a subversive message because it's saying, you know, no matter how constricted your life is or your patterns are, you can break out of them just by making a first gesture towards saving something. It's a well-constructed, consciousness-raising film, especially given that it's basically a comedy with a kind of Buster Keaton silent reel. The first reel of WALL-E is beautiful in that there's hardly any dialogue whatsoever. It's all done by visuals. So in movie terms, it's a great success.
You know, the way that humanity is essentially saved is through the actions of a few. I mean, I'm thinking about the theater that you described watching this movie in, not everybody wakes up, not everybody wants to. In fact, most, it seems like don't, right? We are too comfortable to embrace autonomy and independence. And I guess I wonder what the film also says about leadership.
Well, I think it's a good message in that the leadership can come from anywhere and it needs to be mass sourced from below. And if anybody starts it, it begins to spread. So I like it. It's really a revolution from below by ordinary activities. I think Americans do feel cocooned by crap, and people go on vacation in order to do something simpler and harder. People go down to the gym to do something physical. I mean, all of these are commodified versions of things that you can do for free just by walking out your front door and taking a walk down the street or planting a little garden if you have land, and if not, put it in pots. The urge is there. This is what I'm thinking. The urge for a physical bodily life, a more balanced life where you aren't just a consumer but are also producing something of your own. I think that urge is there. So the movie speaks to something really deep inside all of us.
Kim Stanley Robinson is the author of New York 2140 and a big fan of the movie WALL-E. We talked to Stan, as he is sometimes called, about the economics of colonizing Mars last year. His Mars trilogy is also a commentary on the environment and how humans can destroy things in their own image. You can hear the whole interview in The Source Code on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM. Not everyone gets a chance to learn about the economy in school. Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that's smart, accessible, and hopefully a little bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that's good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. And thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.